The Jefferson Airplane, namely Jarmo Kaukinen, Embryonic Journey. This is KTWH, and this is Leo filling in for Katja Gordon this week on the Friday weather check-in with senior climatologist Kenny Blumenfeld from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. So, Jefferson Airplane, I just missed the music. So, but that must have been, was that from Surrealistic Pillow or is it the album after?
No, you've got it. It was from Surrealistic Pillow. And I could listen to that song every day of my life. But it was put in by my kind engineer to give us a nice transition out of the science interview that Bob Lukanen did that was very interesting. But we cleansed our palate so that we can talk about the subject of the month, really, which is the weather and how it has been impacting what's going on in our woods in the Northland. Of course, we had big fires start on consecutive days on May 11th and 12th, and ever since, everybody's been paying a lot of attention to what's happening weather-wise, thinking we got to get the relative humidity up, we've got to get the winds to die down, we've got to get this and that, and things have sort of cooperated in a way that we've gotten some containment on this fire. Lots of damage done by the Camp House fire in particular, and they still haven't, you know, contained the Jenkins Creek fire. Long story short, Kenny, since I talked to you last Friday, we got ourselves some rain, enough to apparently make a difference, and there was significant cooling, and that seemed to make a big difference, too. We also got a whole lot of wind up here. I don't know if you were tracking if it was the same in the cities, but we got a whole lot of wind at the first 3 days of this week, and that could have been really bad timing if we hadn't gotten the rain and the cool.
Yeah, in fact, so basically the big weather story from our world since the last time we talked was this huge system that moved through really the entire middle of the country. It was just enormous. So this thing started off, you know, it was getting famous down in the southern and central plains with these outbreaks of tornadoes. And, you know, I know that when you hear a lot, there've been a lot of tornadoes this spring in the central and southern U.S. And it might, you know, tornadoes are their own hazard. But I think because we at least try to have listeners and just Minnesotans in general kind of understand what's going on. Tornadoes don't just occur, right? I mean, they don't just drop out of the sky from nowhere. They are in almost all cases associated with a thunderstorm. And it's thunderstorms that form in a very particular type of environment. And usually that environment is aided and abetted by low pressure systems. So something I've talked with you about a little bit and a lot with Katja is how cyclones or low pressure systems are the real weather makers, and not just in Minnesota and the upper Midwest, but really anything that's kind of in the mid latitudes. You get your weather or you get your lack of weather from either having cyclones around or having them not around. And we had a kind of a parade of them. It's almost too much to keep straight. So there were systems that came through the country, not this week, but last week, and towards the end of the week and into the weekend, they produced just a phenomenal tornado outbreak that affected the city of St. Louis, Missouri, but also this one tornadic thunderstorm that tracked for several hours straight. I mean, with almost no break, kind of an incredible specimen. And then there was the equivalent of taking a breath or doing some stretches in between vigorous activity. And then this next system came through and it produced, hail and tornadoes again in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and then into Missouri, Arkansas. And then on the north side, we got absolutely soaked in southern and central Minnesota. So everything basically southwest of the Arrowhead got at least an inch of rain. And there are areas in central, eastern Minnesota that got 4 inches of rain. And this was a strong low pressure system that went through Iowa. So the circulation around it is counterclockwise. So up here in Minnesota, winds were coming out of the east. Generally, that's a moist wind direction, but the moisture that was capable of producing precipitation was really limited to the southern two-thirds or so of Minnesota. But it was a strong pressure gradient that extended up into Canada. So the winds were blowing out of the east across the Arrowhead right into, as you pointed out, western, northwestern Ontario. But the part of Ontario that's just north of the border.
Right.
We ended up with basically a blizzard of rain in southern Minnesota. I mean, there's these sheets of rain with 30, 40 mile an hour winds. Sometimes it was raining heavily. And then you get to the north, and this is the part where it's one of these things. You kind of look at the forecast map, and you think, is that real? The Arrowhead on Monday was in a red flag warning, which is the exact opposite of the kind of wet,
right,
drenching conditions we were expecting in southern and central Minnesota. Red flag warning is basically the equivalent in the fire weather world of a winter storm warning or a flood warning. It's basically saying the conditions are ripe for fires to start if there's a spark in the right situation, it's going to spread given just the meteorological conditions. And it was really amazing because there's all this moisture and even cloud cover in southern and central and even parts of northeastern Minnesota with on Monday, but the winds were, they were a dry wind, and what was happening was the temperature was increasing just enough to drive the relative humidity down. And so we saw relative humidities into that critical category of 20-25% in parts of St. Louis and Lake counties. And of course, that makes everyone really nervous that the fires that exist are going to spread, or that if a new one forms, it's going to go out of control. It looks like we dodged a bullet and kind of everything just stayed, was kept at bay. But what a close call to get, you know, and to have what would have, if we'd been wetter, would have been flooding in southern Minnesota. But, you know, just absolute drenching. 3 inches of rain, 2.5, 4 inches. It's just, that's a lot to get in a three-day period.
It is quite the contrast, because we interrupted our fire update, containment updates to just do the red flag warning throughout the day, saying, please no open flames, please no open flames.
Yeah. So it worked. I mean, something, you know, talking to the fire weather meteorologists that we know and the people who track it for the DNR and put out some of the alerts, they make a really good point. Because we could sort of talk about, well, there's similarities with uncertainty and, you know, you have the conditions that are ripe for something like fire, but are you going to have the big one? Is it going to happen? And they point out that, you know, fires can be prevented in a way that thunderstorms mercifully, I mean, you know, can't, or tornadoes can't. I mean, I think that, you know, the consequence of severe thunderstorm activity is that you get damage and sometimes casualties. But I think if we try and suppress that, we just end up screwing something else up pretty badly. But fire is really, you know, especially in this region where we don't get a lot of fires started from lightning, it really is closely tied to human activity. And in that way, the threat on a day where you have high risk, the threat can be mitigated with, you know, those kinds of warnings that you're putting out. So I think it works. I mean, something worked, right? Because there really was not a lot of new fire activity despite conditions that would have promoted it.
No, although, yes, although I wonder if it was the fires themselves that had gotten people's attention to even be paying attention, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I think that could do it, too. You know, one of the more sobering studies in the last several years was about exposure to heat waves and what the overall risk is for extreme, you know, kind of, you hear about these parts of the world that have had unprecedented heat waves of the sort that nobody ever living there had ever experienced in whatever that region's history was.
Right.
And one of the things that the researchers studying it found was that actually having that kind of a heat wave, as bad as it is, it's a really good predictor of succeeding the next time a similar heat wave emerges. So we are trained by our experiences. If you don't want to have that awful heat wave, but it tends to get you prepared for the next one if you do. And I think that's true for tornadoes and fire and all.
Of course, the question might be for those social scientists: how long does the effect last?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I think. Well, what's neat is that a lot of these, when you're talking about something like heat, it's well beyond what's even in America believed to be just personal responsibility. There's usually some public good in having cooling facilities and having places to go if to get out of the heat, and having dispatchers at the ready and making sure you're staffed up and those kinds of things. Those kinds of changes that maybe had not been in place prior to the big heat waves tend to then become part of the DNA of the region.
Yes.
So the individual elements aren't quite as important at that point because you've got more societal support. But these are also at the whim of whatever's, do end up being sort of political whims.
They have to be sustained. Programs. Right. If they're not sustained, that could be even worse than not having them at all. I did want to ask you to look ahead because we've been, in a little bit under normal temperature, and everybody's going to have a coolish Memorial Day weekend, but it's dry right now. But it does look like there's warming on the horizon. I'm wondering if that's part of a big signal for the end of this month, beginning of next, or not.
Yeah, I mean, so let's just start with the big news.
And I have 2 minutes, Kenny, just to warn you.
I got you.
Got it. Okay.
It looks spectacular. Today is probably, for whatever it's worth, the worst day of the weekend. And I don't think today is terrible in northeastern Minnesota.
No.
There'll be more clouds and sun in some areas. Okay. But by the time we get into Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you're going to see the sun dominating. There might be, drifting clouds and showers, especially on Saturday, sprinkles, nothing big, but you're going to see a lot more sunshine, beautiful, crisp air. It is going to be, near normal or maybe a little bit cool for this time of year, but dry. So spectacular blue skies, bright sunshine. You'll need sunscreen because it is late May sun, but wow, really nice weather. And then just a general warm up as we get into and through next week. I don't yet see anything looking like heat waves. There have been some signs that early June could be a different story, but let's wait till we get there before we could diagnose that. We're in a pretty good blocking pattern again, which means that things aren't going to change all that much for the next week. Once we clear out whatever clouds are in place today, you got about at least a week of pretty constant nice weather with slight increases in temperature through that period. Really nice.
Perhaps occasional showers popping up. I heard that by midweek we might have a chance.
Yeah, we're looking at, maybe Tuesday. There's a couple systems that are sort of limping through the region. They're going to fix their sights to the south of Minnesota, but we could get some remnant shower activity.
All right. Well, you've given us something to look forward to for this 3-day weekend, Kenny. And I don't know if it's myself or Katya joining you next week, but I hope we can join you again and find out more what the inkling is for June in terms of heat and moisture. So we'll be back at it, and we so appreciate being able to talk to you every Friday. Thank you.
Hey, nice talking with you. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You too. Take care, Kenny. That was Kenny Blumenfeld. He is the senior climatologist with Minnesota DNR, and you are in tune to KTWH.